your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. Genesis chapter 18 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 28. And we'll begin with the 23rd verse and read through the 26th. Just these four verses, the text verse being the 25th verse. Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 through 26. And may we stand, please, as is our custom to do. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And this is the text verse. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And let's pray. And Father, thou hast granted us this special privilege of being here today in these services at this church. Thank you for our church. Thank you for its ministries. Thank you for this great day. Now we pray for thy blessing upon the service, upon our preacher. May our attention be carefully focused upon the preaching of thy precious word this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The wickedness of Sodom had come up before God. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were about to come under the judging hand of God. God announced to his man Abraham that he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham came to God and said, God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then he asked the question, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's the title of my sermon this morning. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God said, Okay, Abraham, you can find me 50 righteous people. I'll not destroy the city of Sodom. Abraham sought to find 50 and failed and came back and asked God if he'd consider 40. God said he would. Abraham could not find 40 righteous people, returned to God and asked if God would take 30. God said that he would. Abraham could not find 30 righteous people, returned and asked God if he'd consider sparing the city for 20. God said he would. Abraham could not find 20 righteous people, so he came and said, God, could you spare the city for 10? God said he would. The city of Sodom was not destroyed because of the homosexuality, though it's as rotten as the devil that spawned it. The city of Sodom was not destroyed because of the liquor traffic, though it's done more to ruin America than any 10 other things. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed because of the abortion traffic, though it's murder. The city of Sodom was destroyed because there weren't 10 Christians who were righteous. There were not 10 people who were saved and living righteous lives. If 10 Christian people had been living lives of righteousness, the entire city of Sodom would have been spared. But I want you to get the question that Abraham asked God when he was coming to God and interceding for the city of Sodom. He asked the question. And by the way, he was sort of arguing with God when he said it. He said, Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I want to speak to you about that this morning. I know this. What I'm going to say will apply to every person in this room who's an adult. It probably will apply to many others. No, it will. But I know this. Everybody in this room over 18 years of age will be able to relate to what I'm going to say this morning. Father, speak to our hearts. Give us a truth that will change our lives, that we may be used to change the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. A person comes forward to receive Christ as Savior. Maybe he kneels in his home by the side of a soul winner and receives Christ as his Savior. Perhaps he walks the aisle and kneels at an old-fashioned mourner's bench like we have here, and at the altar, and receives Christ as his Savior. Everything is different. Everything. And things seem to go well. He can see the obvious goodness of God. He says, "Isn't God good?" But now, wait a minute. What does he mean when he says, "Isn't God good?" He's saying, "Isn't God doing the things that I think are good?" That's what he's saying. He isn't saying, "Isn't God doing the things that God thinks are good?" He says, "Isn't God good? God sure has been good to me. Because everything that God does is within the circumference of what the new Christian thinks is good. I got a raise in pay. Isn't God good?" Well, I got news for you. God's good if you got a cut in pay. God's goodness isn't determined on how much money you make, Buster. Now, of course, God's better when you get a raise. Anyway, isn't God good? All of our families well. Well, God's good when all your family is sick, too. But isn't God good? I got a job. Isn't God good? Everything is going well. Now, what we mean by that is everything is going well as man counts goodness. Then, wham. It may be years where everything has gone since your conversion according to what you think is good. And God is good. And hasn't God been good? And can't we see the goodness of God? It may be just months. It may be just weeks. But it comes to everybody. Wham! All of a sudden, for the first time, hear me now, for the first time, something happens to you that you don't see as good. Now, your business goes bad. Boy, the business was going good. God sure has been good to us. I'll be quite frank with you. I do not like to hear businessmen say, "Boy, we had the best year we ever have. God sure blessed us." The truth is, God may have blessed the fellow who had the worst year he ever had more than he blessed you. You can't judge the goodness of God and how many people buy your tomatoes. You can't do that. But all of a sudden, your business goes bad. All of a sudden you lose your job. Or illness comes to your body. Or a child is sick. Or a child is taken in death. Or your husband dies. Something happens for the first time in your Christian life. Now follow me very carefully. Something happens for the first time in your Christian life that you cannot understand and recognize its goodness. Now you face the decision of your Christian life. You're floored. So far, God has been to you as you think God's goodness ought to be to you. And so far, everything that's happened in your Christian life has been in agreement with your idea of what's good for you. Now listen carefully. We're about to face the decision of your life. We're going to decide whose set of judgments will I follow concerning what is good. Will I determine the goodness of God to me on the basis of what I think is goodness? Or will I determine the goodness of God to me on the basis of what God thinks is goodness? Now, folks, you've seen people. You know people. You know people this morning as bitter as green persimmons. You know people just as bitter as can be. And you know people that have gone through the same thing and circumstances that the bitter fellow endured who are as sweet as honey. Now what happened? They came to the decision I'm talking about this morning. When they decided, shall I determine God's goodness on the basis of His criteria for goodness or my criteria
for goodness. The decision is this. Must God still be judged by my concept of what is good? The decision is this. Who will decide what is good? Will it be good? Will it be, thank God, what He has done for me? And that He has thanked God for the good He's done for me? Or that He has thanked God for the good that I can, the things that I can see as good? Now, basically, ladies and gentlemen, the decision is this. Who is God? Hear me now. Look, you're not kidding me. If you haven't come to the place to where some things have happened to you that you cannot interpret as being good, you will come there. It's going to come. I mean, you will lose your job. Or you will lose your child. Or you will lose your health. Or things will happen to you that you can't comprehend as being good. Now, many of you, it's just been a bed of roses ever since you got saved. And that means that you say, oh, God sure has been good to me. But you can see. But the time that will test your faith is this. When you say, I cannot see it or understand it or relate to it, but God still has been good to me. For I am going to take the criteria of God concerning goodness rather than my criteria concerning goodness. You see, wouldn't it be a shame to have a God so little that you could understand His good and understand His bad? Wouldn't it be a shame if you had a God that didn't know more than you do? Wouldn't it be a shame if you had a God who could only give you good, is only good, when you can see that it's good? Now, I tell you what, during graduation, I get all shook up. It leaves me just totally in shambles. I just thank God that folks don't graduate but once a year. I couldn't take it all the time. I'll be honest with you. When I looked at these preacher boys I ordained the other night, these fellows came across the platform. They're going out to preach, and I thought of all the burdens they've got to face and all the battles they've got to fight. I'll be honest with you. I wanted to say to some of them, hey, fellas, I want you to be a plumber. I know something about where they're going. I know something about the battles. And I see these young people sitting down here, and I see these young folks, oh, they're excited. We're going to get married. We're going to get married. Boy, just a few days, we're going to get married. And then I think about the nights of walking the floor when the baby's got 105 fever. And I think of the nights of walking the hospital floor when the baby is near death. Now think about the nights when you get the bills and hold them here and you don't have money to pay the bills. And all of a sudden, you face the realities of life. I'm saying this. I'm saying, in all of our lives, we get saved, we go along, everything is real good, on top side, and all of a sudden, wham, something happens to us. And we're going to decide now who's God. We're about to separate the men from the boys. We're at the forks of the road. We will now decide your joy in life or your sorrow in life. We're going to decide now, listen to me, we're going to decide now whether or not you're going to live by faith. Now let me just explain a little bit about what living by faith is. Living by faith is living believing that God knows what's best for you. And that if your concept of what's best for you and God's concept of what's best for you do not coincide, living by faith is saying, I can't understand it, I can't see it, I can't comprehend it, but I believe that God knows what's best for me. Now, if I pain, God knows it's best that I pain. If I hurt, God knows it's best that I hurt. If I lose my job, God knows it's best that I lose my job. Did you see that little girl without any legs they lifted here last Friday night? Did you see Ruth Balchunas graduate with honors? Lovely young lady who a few years ago was in a car accident. Both of her legs had to be amputated. And I got to thinking as they brought her up here, I got to thinking, all the time she's had to get up and all the time she's had to get around and all the time she's had to how does she get to the table and how does she do her hair and how does she bathe and how does she study and all these things. And did you hear what her favorite scripture was? She said, I believe that His afflictions have been good for me. What? No legs? Young lady in the prime of her life? Wondering, watching the others have their dates? Watching the others stand and have their wedding announcements read? Watching the others walk the aisle in a wedding gown? What? Let me tell you something. She's got more Christianity than 95% of the folks in this room have. I'm simply saying that she has decided that God knows what's best for her. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Let me make an announcement to you. The judge of all the earth always does right. And he doesn't owe you one single thing. He doesn't owe you an explanation of what it is. The Bible says, shall he that is formed say, why hast thou made me thus? No. See, living by faith is, you're not living by faith as long as the business is going well. You're not living by faith as long as the health is good. You're not living by faith as long as the family is well. You're not living by faith as long as there are no clouds in your life. And I'm not talking about clouds that the lawnmower broke and cut your little toenail. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your mother-in-law came to live with you, though that is. But anyway, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the fact, I don't want to, but it's the dampness, my hair is falling. Well, brother, it's been mighty damp where I was because all of mine done fell. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about things you grind. Well, I'm so tired. 10 o'clock at night. I'm so tired. I'm just worn out. Well, honey, that's what the bed's in there for. Get in it. Everybody's tired at 10 o'clock at night. Don't remind us. Everybody knows you're tired. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you lose a leg in an accident. I'm talking about when you lose an eye, like one of these good men in the choir did. I was hoping they'd get right with God, but as honored as he ever was. I'm talking about this man sitting up here in the middle. Raise your hand up, Ken. That man right there in an accident at work, wasn't it? Work. All of a sudden had an accident. Lost his lying eye and recently had to have an artificial eye put in. And yet he comes back and he's just the same smile he always had. I'm simply saying, listen, somebody said, the same thing happens to the fellow. He said, I don't understand it. I've tried to do right. I've tried to serve God. Look what happened to me. All these bad things. Let me tell you something, my friend. If you love God and you're in the will of God, nothing bad ever happens to you. So you're playing God. You, your own God. You're an idolater of the worst sort. I'm saying, and God is saying, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You haven't got any reason to whine. You're in the hands of a righteous judge. You have no reason to complain. You're in the hands of a righteous judge. You have no reason to think you've got it bad. You're in the hands of a righteous judge. I come this morning and ask the question Abraham asked of old in Genesis 18:25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes! The judge of all the earth will do right. Answered in Hosea 14:19, the ways of the Lord are right. The ways of the Lord are right. The tragedy is this. When something happens in your life that you think is bad, that does not coincide with your concept of goodness, the tragedy is that God is really giving you a chance to serve Him in a way that nobody else can serve Him. But you take a tool that God is giving to you with which to serve Him, and you destroy the tool. Look who blessed us most at graduation. Was it Dr. Evans with his speech? No. Was it me with my speech? Sure. No. Was it the music? No. Was it the valedictorian? With all of the co-valedictorians or co-valedictorians? No. Was it Mr. Hounder, Miss Hounder? No. What was the person who blessed us most? A little old gal without any legs, the prime of her life, was lifted in a wheelchair. reached out and said, I'll take the weapon tool God has given me and I'll use it.
But the tragedy is for the people that sit in those same type wheelchairs and whine.
Now, I'm not criticizing you for whining. I'm just saying you're not going to make it if you whine. God put you there for a purpose. There's a reason for it all. Yesterday, I read a tract written by Keith Fry. Has his picture on the front, how he looked before he had multiple sclerosis, that is? Before he got multiple sclerosis. Now Keith comes back there and sits in his wheelchair, twisted, emaciated body. But he has a tract. And thousands of the folks will read the tract. What is he saying? He's saying, I could see that all that God did was good, and God was good to me. And I could see that what God did was good, God was good to me. And I could understand what God did was good, and God was good to me. Then all of a sudden there came in my life something I would not call it good. And to be quite frank with you, if you told me multiple sclerosis is good for me, I would not say that's what I believe. But there is a God in heaven, and I put my trust and my faith in that God. And when my idea of goodness does not coincide with His idea of goodness, I take His idea of goodness, and I'll take this wheelchair and make a pulpit out of it. I'll take this wheelchair and make a rod to part the Red Sea out of it. I'll take this crippled leg and I'll make a testimony for the world out of it. I'll take these blind eyes, said Fanny Crosby, and I'll become a songwriter out of it. I'll not let these blind eyes handicap me. I'll let these blind eyes be used as a tool to help me to serve God better. That's what God is saying to Abraham. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God said, of course I'll do right. Of course I'll do right. Now, here's what you do. Follow me carefully. You're a young Christian. I'm talking to that person right now who's facing the first time in your life where you cannot, where your idea of goodness does not coincide with his. Now follow me carefully. What do you do? All of a sudden, things have been going right as you count rightness. Things have been going good as you count goodness. And all of a sudden something, wham, hits you and you find yourself aghast. I never thought this would happen. I thought now that I'm saved, you know, a lot of these charismatic guys on a PTL club, 700 club, things like that. A lot of these guys are leaving the wrong impression. You send us $100 and you'll get rich. No, you may go broke. You're not supposed to tithe to get rich. You're supposed to tithe because God says to tithe. If you lose your job after you tithe, you're supposed to tithe. If you go hungry after you tithe, you're supposed to tithe. Somebody said, boy, I tell you what, you just take your stand for God and everything will turn out okay. Tell John the Baptist about that. Look at his head on the platter of the king. His whole head rolling there and say, hey, John, turned out right, didn't it? Yes, it turned out right. But it did not turn out so man could see it was right. What do? All of a sudden, you come to that place in your life, your Christian life. All of a sudden, for the first time, you find yourself saying, I don't understand this. It's... God's been good to me up to now, and all of a sudden I don't see this. What you do is this. You run to some good Christian who's been saved for years and walk with God for years. And you ask that good Christian what the deal is. And that dear saint who's walked with God for years will tell you, young Christian, I was where you are. There was a time in my life when I too could not equate God's goodness with mine. But I found out after all these years that what God does is best. Now, there'll be a bunch of young Christians running to you and a bunch of critics will run to you. You run from them. I'll tell you what you do. Then you run to some Christian who has a wrecked life and ask him how he got there. He'll tell you he got there because he followed his concept of goodness. You'd find some dear old saint of God who has the joy of God in her soul, in his soul. You look him up! Look, let me just be honest and frank with you. You,
you go to some of these dear old saints in the church here have been living longer than we have. Well, I've been living longer than anybody has. But you go to some of these dear old saints. You go to Miss Ramsey. And you ask Miss Ramsey, Miss Ramsey, when you and God differ on what's good, who's right? She'll say, well, God's right. And I, an idea of goodness, God's, and it always turns out right. You go to some of these dear old saints of God. You go to Miss Hazen. You go to the Briners. Go to the Rouses. Go to somebody who's walked with God all these many years. Go to Mrs. Snyder. You go to somebody's walk with God these years and say, something's happened. I don't understand it. Everything was going just right, and God was good to me. Now all of a sudden, I can't see His goodness. And every single one of them will say to you, young Christian, if you can't see His goodness, you can trust His goodness. Trust Him. That's what it's all about. Now, let me tell you some things that will help you quickly. Help number one, don't expect too much from yourself. Somebody said one time many years ago, you're the second John R. Rice. I said, no, I'm not. I'm the first Jack Hiles. No, I couldn't be the... Somebody said, well, I want to be the next Lee Robertson. I'm sorry, there's only one. Now, there are three Bob Joneses, but they're all filled. The only one, John R. Rice. There's nothing that make me more miserable than try to be as brilliant as John Rice. I could not do it. There's nothing that make me any more miserable than to try to write with the mighty pen that John Rice wrote, but I'd be miserable. I can't do it. But I can do the best I can. And if I try to do the best somebody else can, then I will feel failure. But if I try to do the best I can. You see, I have a sermon I preach around the country some, and I preached it here one time, called, I think Fantasy Versus Reality. Is that it? What's the title of that sermon? Yesterday's fantasies versus today's realities. In that sermon, I say this. I said, we looked yesterday to today, and we said, now, this is the way tomorrow's going to be. And so we picture how tomorrow's going to be and fantasize about tomorrow. But fantasy never includes negatives. You never said, boy, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. My mother-in-law's going to come live with us. I think I've dwelt on that long enough. I think I dwelt on that too long. But I know what's going to happen tomorrow. The commode's going to get stopped up. Or a bat's going to come down the furnace. I don't mean the old bat. I mean... fantasy never includes reality. Reality includes negatives. So tomorrow comes, and you take your dreams for tomorrow, and you put them right here, and then you take the reality of tomorrow, when it's today, and you put that reality, and there's no way that your fantasy can ever be fulfilled by your reality. Oh, you say, I'm looking for the woman in my dream. She doesn't exist. Quit dreaming about her. Look for the woman God's chosen for you. Nobody's going to fulfill the dreams you got for that woman. While we have students at Howells Anderson College come to me, and they give me a little card and say, Pastor, this is the list of all the things I'm looking for in a wife. What do you think about that list? I say, Zowie, let's both look for her. Good night, all that list. You got a perfect woman. And he said, what do you think about that? I said, look, and if you find a woman like that, you better pray God she has no list. Because a woman like that wouldn't settle for your puss, I'll guarantee you for sure. And that's why you're disenchanted. You got a woman of your dream. She doesn't exist. And you get the woman that God wants for you, and you put that woman beside the woman of your dreams. She can't measure up. She never will measure up.
and the real man will never measure up the man of your dreams, and the real tomorrow will never measure up to the tomorrow of your dreams. I'm saying, just say, by God's grace, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but the just God of the universe rules my life. He knows what's best. I'll trust Him. Whatever comes, I'll guarantee you I may not see it as good, but it'll be good. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? See, also, the way to help is don't expect too much from others. Because they'll disappoint you. I hadn't thought of it since it happened. Several years ago, I was in a southern city. My birthday was coming up, or it just happened, one or the other. That birthday. I walked in, and everybody in the room had on party hats. And they all had little horns. Little horns. And they all had these little things that blow out. And I thought, boy, isn't this wonderful? How thoughtful can you get? I looked out. I tried to act like a blasé. And so somebody, one of the folk, staff members, got up and said, "There's something special." He said, "This is our pastor's anniversary at the church." And I sat up on the platform for 30 minutes and heard him sing happy anniversary to that rascal. They had a bunch of presents down here. I thought they were for me. They were all for him. You don't understand my burdens, folks. God doesn't always do things I think are good. But see, that ruined the service for me. You know why? Because I was expecting something from somebody else that I did not get. So the best thing to do is you just expect what God wants you to have from somebody else. And don't you think about tomorrow, how tomorrow's going to be. You think I'm going to give them. When tomorrow comes, I'll give my best. When tomorrow comes, I'll be my best. When tomorrow comes, I'll do my best. And when tomorrow comes, there's one thing I know. I know that God is good. And I know that the judge of all the earth does right. And God, I will not put you on trial tomorrow. I will not judge you tomorrow. I won't decide whether you're good or not tomorrow. I decide today you're already good. And I just believe whatever happens to me, if I can't see it good, I still believe it's good. Don't expect too much from yourself. Don't expect too much from others. Don't expect too much from tomorrow. I cannot control tomorrow. I cannot control my life. I cannot control your treatment of me. There's only one thing I can do, and that's do my best. Now, folks, look at me. For every one Ruth Balchunas, now hear me carefully. For every one Ruth Balchunas, there are 100 little gals in wheelchairs, bitter. For every one Ruth Balchunas, there are hundreds of young girls frowning. Brother, is your name written in heaven or not? Then you have a reason to frown. No matter what's happened to you. Are your sins forgiven? Is Jesus your Savior? Then you have no need for bitterness. I'll guarantee you, Dr. Evans and I were, and Dr. Jorgensen were down in, where were we? Jacksonville, Florida. They went with me on a trip while I was preaching down there, and we worked 10 minutes on the trip. And Dr. Jorgensen had a relative in the rest home. And Dr. Evans and I, we just started walking down the hall. We asked the little lady that ran the rest home, "Is there anybody here that we could talk to? We're preachers." She said, "Well, of course. There's a man up there, an old man up there in a certain room. His name is so-and-so. He needs help." We walked in the room. Man was sitting in a wheelchair.
I said, "Sir, my name is Jack Hiles." He turned around and grunted at me. I said, "I've come to tell you some good news." He said, "No good news." I said, "Oh, yes, sir, yes." "No, it's not. My children don't want me home. They put me here to rot and die." "Well, but God loves you." "Nobody loves me." You know what I thought about as I walked away from that man? Mrs. Bartels. Young Christian, God always does right. The judge of this world always does right.
He says, I don't see it.
But if you could see it, you'd have mighty pity in God. What do you want? A God that knows no more than you do? Is that what you really want? Well, then follow the Pope. Is that what you want? You want a God dumb as you are? Is that what you want?
You want a God that your simple little mind can comprehend?
Not me, brother. I don't trust my judgment of goodness. I don't trust my concept of right. I do not trust it. Now, I guarantee you today, and I've not had as much pain and suffering as most of you have had, but after 60 years almost, you're going to stumble into some of it. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If God said to me today, "Son, I'll give you the reins. You can decide what happens to you and decide everything you what you have. You decide it. Now on." I'd say, "You keep it. You keep it." Now, God, I don't always understand it. I'll be quite frank with you. There's some things in my life I don't understand. I can't comprehend, don't understand it. Can't comprehend it. But I know one thing. Your ways are above my ways. My ways are beneath your ways. And so as I come to the places where I can say, "I see it's good," I put my hand out and say, "God, you sure did a good job today." I often say kiddingly, on a beautiful sunshiny day, "This is the day the Lord has made." On a lousy, rainy day, I may say, "Well, God made this one too, but nobody's perfect." But God knows what kind of day you need. And God knows whether you need a job or not. And God knows whether you need a raise or not. So why don't you just get comfortable in the saddle and say to your guide and to your God, "You know what's best. And I won't have to see it. I'll just believe it when it comes." It may be that health will come, and I can understand it's good. Maybe that sickness will come and I'll trust that it's good. It may be that a raise in pay will come and I can see that it's good. It may be that a cut in pay will come, but I'll understand and believe it's good. It may be that employment will come and I can see that it's good, but it may be that unemployment will come, but I'll trust that it's good. It may be that health will come and I can comprehend that it's good. It may be that sickness will come and I'll trust it's good. It may be that my children will be healthy and well. And I can see that it's good. It may be that we'll place our child in a little casket and take it to Babyland. And I'll trust that it's good. I've never said this here in all the years I've been here. There came a flood in the little town of Italy, Texas, where I was born. There in a little park in Italy, they have my tombstone already there. They got a marker there in the little square in the little town of Italy, Texas. I'm from Italy, and I call it my tombstone. There came a flood in Italy when I was a young boy. And my mother used to go to the graveside of little Loreen and Hazel. Couldn't afford a tombstone. Just had a little marker, you know, these kind you write on, framed in metal and stuck in the ground, and that's all they had there. And my mother went regularly to the grave of her two little 7-year-old girls, the first children she had, Loreen and Hazel. And I can see my mother cry. And I remember when a flood came. We went down one day after the flood and it washed away the graves. For the last years of my mother's life, she couldn't find the grave of Hazel or the grave of Lorraine. And I've seen her walk over that place looking for, trying to find about the spot. No sign whatsoever and tears streaming down her cheeks. And I'd say, Mother, why are you crying? And my mother would say to me, Son, don't let these tears fool you. God is good. God is good. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for the food. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for the hunger. Thank You for this empty table, dear God. Thank You for these two stubs that used to be legs, dear God. Thank You for this disease. Thank You for my little boy that has awful disease and never been normal. God is great. God is good. But don't make Him answer to you. And don't make Him lower to your idea of goodness. You just throw your shoulders back and look up. And let the tears fall. Of course, let the tears fall. And look up to God and say, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, He will. Yes, He does. Our Heavenly Father,